Okay, so we want to do a few things, then break, because we need to break before the storm. Break now or break?
Before the formal.
Yeah.
Before the formal.
Before the formal, all right. So where do we leave off?
Me.
Oh, we got,
The two back.
Yeah, just a few more.
Yep. All right, so we are on cases 2185, 2186. Tracy, the summary's the same, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll take them all together, vote on them separately, and let the record show that Ms. Frost is recused on these two cases.
Thank you. Case 2185, the complainant is Ronnie Bengal. The respondent is Lee P. Jackson, UVM. And on case 2186, the complainant is the same, and the respondent is Caitlin Rodosovich, DVM. Actually, they are separate. They are different summaries. There's different.
Okay, let's just do 85.
So 85, on July 13th, 2020, Anthony, an 18-week-old male domestic medium haired cat, was presented to the respondent for rabies vaccine. The cat was examined, vaccinated, and discharged. Complainant states respondent administered an expired vaccine to the cat. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismiss this issue of no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0. Do you want me to go ahead and read 2186?
Well, since you've got to have one else, let's go ahead and do it. We have no respondent, this is full monitoring?
Monitor.
No complainant. And you, Lily?
Yep. Mr. Chairman, I have a quick question of staff on who the responsible veterinarian is for the premises.
I believe this is Dr. Gerald Jenkins.
Dr.
Gerald Jenkins.
Okay, so it's neither party of this. Okay, neither of these parties. Okay. Okay. Mr. Chairman, in reviewing the medical records as extensively as I could, there was, although it appears Dr. Jackson on the medical records only administered one rabies vaccine on 7/13/20, here are the records for what was in the medical records as recorded for the expiration date was 4/25/20, but the sticker was 5/21/21. You'll see in the upcoming case there were similar record keeping problems. So in essence, although this relates to the next case too, all six injections had problems with expiration dates in the record versus expiration dates in the stickers. It does not appear to be a simple system glitch. The other concern is there in reviewing the record is I was unable to tell who administered vaccines on 7/6. They were left blank. And on 6/15, it was simply labeled tech. So I'm concerned that there's a medical records problem here, and I would move to this to informal.
Motion on the floor to move to informal. I'm not hearing a second. Next option.
Wow. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we send a letter of concern to Dr. Jackson regarding medical records and the inconsistency of the expiration dates and the records and on the sticker for the rabies vaccine administered 7/13/2020.
And we have a motion on the floor. I am going to second this one.
Thank you.
All right, so the motion on the floor is issue a letter concerned the vaccine. So discussion on this. I'm not looking at it the same perspective you're looking at. I'm kind of looking at it as One, the computer-generated records, if there's going to be an edit or amendment, it needs to have the date and why. And I don't know that that's in statute or not, and if it's not, we can still issue a letter of concern.
Yes.
Secondly, I mean, this is all filed because the owners looked at the record and said, oh my goodness, they used that expired vaccine.
Yes.
Well, just print them off the other copy. Why couldn't you just print off the copy that had the sticker on it?
That they.
And show them, and be done with it, you never got this. Now, is there some kind of problem in how they're, I think, I can't remember if it's this case or some other we're looking at.
The next one.
They're trying to take, okay, I opened this tray, it's got 50 individual doses in it, so I'm going to enter this in the computer, and the next 50 doses we enter are going to have that lot number and an expiration date.
Yeah.
When really, it's probably better just to type it in as you do it. But that's why the stickers are there. You put them on the record, and if you don't have time to type it in, you can take a photo and attach it to your art, something. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to do that. I think there'll even be a QR code coming soon. It'll be a blockchain effect that you can just put that QR code. For now, whatever it says on the sticker is what you type in your computer, if it's different. If you can't scan it and figure it out on its own. So, I mean, I think there's issues with the records. They need to be taken care of. Or, I mean, nothing got hurt, but they need some better operational security, and there's no use concerning clients when you don't have to. It was a very simple fix that they just didn't do.
Apparently, they have some system problems, because again, it happened.
Even with the system problem, all they had to do was photocopy that sheet and said, look, we screwed up and we didn't put that in the computer, but here's what he got. It's on your record.
Mr. Chairman, that would
show them how it peels off the bottom.
Mr. Chairman, that would be responsive to this particular case, but it appears the problem is broader and could happen again. So they claim it's fixed. We don't know.
No.
They claimed it was a one-off glitch. Clearly, or here in the next case, it wasn't. All six injections had the same problem. A letter of concern in a second.
That's where we got right now.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, there were two concerns expressed regarding what the letter of concern should address. One was made by Ms. Solomon, and then you expressed kind of a different set. Perhaps what we can do is just more generalize it and say that it is the licensee's responsibility to make sure that their record keeping is in accordance with the board's statutes and rules.
It's fine.
As amended.
As amended, yes.
And second. Any other discussion? Ms. Solomon and I pretty lonely over here by ourselves.
No.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. On phone, can't hear you.
Aye. No, I'm not.
All right. Nays? Opposed? Motion passes. Next up is 2186.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, it's not the same. Sorry about that, Tracy.
No problem. Case 2186, the complainant is Ronnie Mickle, the respondent is Caitlin Verdosevich, DVM. On May 25th, 2020, Anthony, an 11-week-old male domestic care cat, was presented to respondent for a booster vaccine. The cat was examined, vaccinated, and discharged. Complainant states respondent administered an expired vaccine to the cat. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-4-0.
And we have no respondents. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant? And Ms. Solomon?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, and this also references some earlier discussion by the board, that it is the licensee who is responsible for making sure things are done according to statutes and rules. So that was a previous comment made by the board on another case. So in this case also, with Dr. Radesevich, it's referenced that there was the first of three FVRPC vaccinations given on 5/25/20. Here again, there was a problem, an inconsistency between the record and the sticker. Just in summary, this pet was given 6 injections, and in the record, the problem was the same with all 6. So there was definitely a problem with record keeping. Also, as I previously noted, we don't know who gave the injections. On 6/15, it was listed as a tech, and that was 2 injections, the FELV and the second FVRPC, and likewise on 7/6, it was completely left blank on the medical record, no doctor name, no, not even tech. And there again, the 2 problems, that there was no name, that the name was blank, and again, the same problem with inconsistency between the record's date and the sticker date.
And in light of those facts, we are going to,
I move that we offer another, that we send another letter of concern, and specifying the wording that was previously mentioned by counsel on case 2185.
That is ultimately the licensee's responsibility to make sure that records are kept in accordance with state laws and regulations.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So the motion passes. And we'll issue a letter of concern in 2186. Once you're done, Ms. Frost, you're allowed back in the circle. Next up is 2187. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Sure. Case 2187, representative is Lisa Harrelson. The respondent is Ryan Light, DBM. On January 20th, 2021, Mango, a 10-month-old male domestic medium hair cat, was presented to First Pet Veterinary Center on emergency for fever, anorexia, vomiting, and diarrhea. After the cat was examined, the complainant approved IV fluids and blood work. Shortly after the cat started on IV fluids, he went into cardiopulmonary arrest. CPR was unsuccessful and the cat passed away. Respondent is the responsible veterinarian for the premises. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded, and the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
This one we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant? And Ms. Solomon?
Yes.
You're up
again. I'm not the bad again. Mr. Chairman, while I concur with the IC's conclusion and recommendation of a dismiss with no violation, I do want to make some notes and offer consideration of and move for a letter for a letter of concern on this, just a dismiss with no violation. I think some important facts to be considered were that the multiple cat household was also fostering stray kittens, that Mango was a 10-month-old unvaccinated cat, that although CPR was ceased, euthanasia drug, as I read the record, was administered because there was still a weak heartbeat. There had been another sick cat in the household who was sick for 8 days, and that the owner had given Mango the dog's leftover medications. And the amount of the dosage was unknown. The owner declined Dr. Sanchez's recommendations for hospitalization testing labs and due to financial issues. So we don't know the exact cause of death, but I'm sorry for Mango's passing. So I would move we dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Motion on the floor and second to dismiss with no violation. Is there any discussion? I guess I had a question mark for a letter of concern, because euthanasia technically was not authorized, but it was done. The client said to stop CPR. Didn't say
yes.
Euthanasia. There's a difference. Whether you stop trying to save its life and whether you euthanize. If nobody else is bothered,
I'm interested in what veterinarians would have to say if a pet is dying.
Right, I thought that was just to help it.
Right,
right. Which would be the humane thing to do.
Exactly.
But then you go ahead and ask, yes, because you already asked them, do you want me to stop CPR? Okay, if its heart keeps beating, do you want me to euthanize it? Or do you want me to help them? I don't know. I mean, to me, it's different. If you were in a hospital with your relative, whatever, which is totally different, you know, you wouldn't use those two things, oh, stop CPR, or oh, I'm going to take them off the ventilator, doesn't mean you're going to inject them with a phenobarbital and put them out.
It depends so, which relatives is
in the world. Depends on which relatives, what part of the world you're in. But,
yeah.
So, if nobody else is up for it, I mean, I'm fine. I would dismiss that. That was my only concern with the whole process. Just
I definitely feel like that's a slippery slope. Like, it's definitely different in veterinary medicine than human medicine. And when you look at like the veterinary goals, it's to prevent suffering. And a lot of times, I think when you have an established client-patient relationship of an animal truly dying, you're not going to let it continue to suffer. But what I would say is, how do you draw that line? Suffering, when can you euthanize without approval, when can you not, that just gets into some really sticky situations, and so, you know, I can understand the concern here. I don't think it's a violation in this case, but I feel like, you know, just ensuring that we have that conversation or have that documented ahead of time on paperwork or whatever, maybe that's the best practice. Yes, remember I led off with I had a question mark.
And that was precisely so you could tell me what you just told me. Thank you. Any other discussion? Motion on the floor is to dismiss. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. 2187 is passed. We got one more. Next up is 2190. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Case 2190, the complainant is Lisa Anthony, the respondent is Anna Wachtel, DBM. On January 15, 2021, Valkyrie, a 7.5-year-old intact female Labrador mix, was presented to respondents associates and having mammary mass evaluated. Three masses were identified and removal was discussed. Three surgical diagnostics were recommended as well as a spade procedure and histopathology. Complainant elected to have blood work performed and declined the other recommendations. On February 8th, 2021, the doctors presented to respondent to have the masses removed. Complainant stated she found a fourth mass that she wanted removed at the time as well. Upon discharge, complainant noted that the fourth mass she wanted removed was not, and the respondent had removed a different mass that complainant did not give the consent to have removed. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
All right, in this case, we have no respondent, Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complaint present? And Dr. Wright, you are the lead.
Yes, I am, thank you. So after going through and reading this, looking at everything, I mean, one of the worst things that can happen to us as veterinarians in the morning of a surgery drop-off is for a client to come in with additional requests. Last-minute changes on planned surgery can really throw things off, and it's not uncommon, unfortunately, when this last mass always just pops in, and clients are like, hey, take this off at the same time, and there's multiple masks on the dog, which one exactly is going on? And it gets very, very difficult, and unfortunately, this is something that can happen, and the clients throw the last-minute request on like that. I don't see any harm that happened to the dog. Everything recovered well. It just sounds like this is unfortunately a bad situation, but I don't see a violation of the statute. I'm going to make a motion to dismiss this from the left.
Second.
Motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2190. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 2190 is dismissed. We are up to our formal. Let's take a quick break. Come back and get that done.
Thank you, sir.